Praise
Thank
God and
you.
welcome to everyone who is online with us tonight. I congratulate you for being a part of our 30 days of planting the heavens, and I welcome you to day three. Whoever is the happiest person online tonight, I want you to shout a loud hallelujah.
Hallelujah!
Glory to God.
Thank you.
We are going to do one or two unusual things tonight. But before we get into our scriptures and into the words that the Lord has for us, I'm going to ask you: do you have your confession, 2015 confession?
Yes.
Let's open it. We're going to read it together. 2, 3, go. 2015 is my year of heaven on earth. I am rising up and heaven is coming down to me. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. The Garden of Eden is my new reality. Days of heaven upon the earth are here to stay. Days of laughing, singing, praising, celebrating, rejoicing, and dancing will never end. Welcome heaven, welcome Eden. I am a loved child of a loved God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost are the new constant in my life. No more crying, no more whining. Goodbye, death, disease, sorrow, sickness, pain, and failure. Former things have passed away, and all things have become new. The night season is over. Daybreak is finally here. Good morning, Coyote. For as surely as the earth brings forth her voice, and as the garden causes the things sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth out of my life. Exceeding grace will make the difference in my destiny. Zoe life, the superabundant yamu life of God, will continually overflow in me. Light be, I am free from every yoke and chain of darkness. This is my walk over year. Divine wisdom will distinguish me. The God kind of faith will make a giant out of me. My due season of harvest is here. I am walking in God's due order. The covenant worketh, and every precious seed I sow is returning to me speedily with multiplied increase. I am walking over frustration, dysfunction, delay, miscarriage, stagnation, and abortion. Every time of verdict hereby terminated. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. 2015 is my year of heaven on earth. I am rising up. Heaven is coming down to me. I am seated with Christ in the heavenly places. The Garden of Eden is my new reality. Days of heaven upon the earth are here to stay. Days of laughing, singing, praising, celebrating, rejoicing, and dancing will never end. Welcome heaven, welcome Eden. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we honor you tonight and thank you for the opportunity that you have given to us as a people to come around your word. You gave us 30 days of planting the heavens, and we can sense heaven is being planted already. We are hearing, we are receiving, we are learning of things going on in the realm of the spirit in different people's lives. We can tell things are changing. Supernatural events are being turned around. We thank you for that, Father. Have your way even tonight. Give us utterance and understanding in your word. We give you praise.
In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.
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 Hallelujah. We will do something a little bit unusual tonight. I want to ask that if there is someone online, adult or a young person, or you have an adult or a young person in your life who has mind problems, mind difficulties, psychological problems, mental or emotional problems, sleep disorders, wandering mind, confused mind, divided minds, tormented minds, anyone like that who might be online tonight, or who knows someone in such a category, I am going to ask you, just as we get going here, to please quickly get a handkerchief. I want you to get a handkerchief, and I want you to put it under your phone or wrap it around your phone as we go through this session tonight. And I would explain to you and give you a couple of instructions later on in this session. But I want you to, just a slight diversion, tonight we are going to read a lengthy piece of scripture. We're going to read it corporately aloud, even though I'm going to read above everyone, and I'm going to ask that everyone else will just read and mutter it, but we're going to read it together. But I want to, before we go to that, we're going to go to Genesis 1, but before we do that, I want to give you some scriptural basis for what we are doing tonight. This is going to run at different points in time through the course of these 30 days of planting the heavens, and I will tell you what scripture, what chapter, and on what days we are actually going to go through those. But let's look at a few scriptures. I want you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 13. There is something uniquely powerful about reading the Word of God out loud. Reading the Word of God out loud. It is not a practice that many of us are used to. Most of us, when we read the Bible or when we study the Word, we typically tend to silent read. We read it silently and we follow it with our mind. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's pretty much how most of us read the Word. And that's probably how most of us will continue to read the Word. But over the course of these 30 days of planting the heavens, I actually want to challenge you to do this once, at least once out of every 2 days. If you are able to do it every day, great. But if you can't do it every day, do it at least once out of every 2 days. I want you to read the Bible out loud. You are alone by yourself. You are reading it in your time of study or in your time of prayer. Instead of reading it quietly in your mind, following with just your eyes, I actually want you to read it out loud. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. It says, "Till I come, give attendance, public reading, to exhortation, doctrine." The Amplified Bible says, "Till I come, devote yourself to public and private reading, to exhortation, preaching and personal appeals, and to teaching and instilling doctrine." There are three things Paul said we should devote ourselves to where the Word of God is concerned. Paul talked about exhortation, which is preaching and personal appeals. Then he talked about teaching and instilling doctrine. We pretty much do a lot of both of those. But then he also talked about public and private reading out loud. Reading the Bible, reading the scriptures out loud. Most of the times, we don't do that. We may do that when we are reading 2 verses or 3 verses or 4 verses or 5 verses, but hardly do we read an extended portion of scripture out loud. It is not just a scriptural practice. There is a supernatural power in it. And that's why I told people with certain categories or situations to get a handkerchief tonight and wrap it around their phone or put it underneath their phone as we go through this session. Because on the word of the Lord, I am absolutely certain that something miraculous, something supernatural in the realm of mental illnesses, psychological problems, mind issues, emotional trauma, wandering mind, confused mind, unsettled mind, troubled mind, worrying mind, sleep disorders, everything that has to do with the mind. Supernaturally, people are going to receive breakthroughs by this simple practice that we're about to do from tonight. So Paul said, devote yourself. He said, dedicate yourself to public and private reading out loud. There's one or two other scriptures I want you to look at. Look at Luke, the book of Luke, in chapter 4. And we're going to read about Christ when he commenced his public ministry after the Holy Spirit came upon him and he overcame the devil in the temptations that he endured, and he came into the temple in Luke chapter 4, and from verse 14 it says, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up for to read. What did he do? He stood up to read publicly aloud. He took the Bible. Now the Bible says in verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, notice, they didn't give him a verse. They didn't give him a scripture. They simply opened the chapter or the book of Isaiah. And he found himself in the book. When he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And in verse 20, he closed the book and he gave it again to the minister, and he sat down, and the eyes of everyone was fastened on him, and he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Notice, Jesus actually commenced his public ministry by standing up, reading the scriptures out loud. And everyone who heard him reading it, including himself, notice he said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. Certainly, Jesus himself had ears. Everyone who heard that scripture, including himself, who heard that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed him, because he's anointed to preach the gospel, he has been sent to heal the brokenhearted, he has been sent to preach deliverance to the captives, he has been sent to preach recovering of sight to the blind, he has been sent to set at liberty those that are bruised, everyone in that category that heard him and heard those words with their ears encountered the supernatural working power of God that day. That day. He said, this day is this scripture fulfilled, not in your mind, but in your ears. So when you hear it, when you speak it out loud and you hear it, and your ears receive it, and they transmit it to your mind, something supernatural begins to happen to you. I want you to look at a private reading out loud of the scripture. This one was a public one. Jesus stood out in the temple and he read out loud. And like I said, we typically would do things like this, but for short pieces of scripture, but we need to do it for extended, extensive scriptures. Now, I want you to look at someone who did it privately. So he was by himself. There was no crowd. There was no church. There was no congregation. Nobody was sitting down and listening to him. He was by himself, and he started to read it out loud, and he encountered God. I want you to look there in Acts chapter 8, the gospel according to Acts chapter 8, verse 26. Acts chapter 8, and from verse 26. And the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise, and go down toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose, and he went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all our treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, this man was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to this chariot. Verse 30. And Philip ran there to him, watch this, and heard him read the prophet of Isaiah. The man was sitting alone in his cabin. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. He was reading it from chapter 53. He found that, and he was reading from chapter 53. But he wasn't reading it in his mind. He wasn't reading it quietly. He was reading it out loud so that when Philip came near, Philip heard what he was reading. And he asked him, understandest thou what thou readest? And the man said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this: he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh this prophet all of this? Of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and now preached unto him Jesus. Notice the public or private reading of the scripture preceded Philip preaching to him. But in that man reading out loud the scripture, something supernatural already began to happen in his mind. His mind was not drifting. He wasn't reading it quietly, following it with his eyes, and his mind was thinking about what he needed to do in the office when he arrived. He wasn't thinking about the assignment he needed to pursue. There is something God created as a connection between the mind and the mouth. And every time your mouth speaks, your mind has to shut up and listen. Every time the mouth declares, the mind has to follow. Think about this for a minute. If you are thinking about something, matter of fact, let's do this. I know Brother Copeland does this every now and then. Let's do this. Everyone online, right now, I want you to count from 1 to 10. In your mind, begin to count in your mind from 1 to 10. 1, come on. Now, I want you to say out loud, Jesus.
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 Now, what happened to you when you said Jesus, your mind stopped counting? You started counting, 1, 2, 3, 4, but the moment you open your mouth and you say Jesus, your mind had to get behind your mouth.
Yes.
And your mind had to stop counting and let your mouth say what it needed to say. There is something divinely supernatural that is a connection between the mouth and the mind. When your mouth speaks, your mind listens. When you read verbally, vocally, the scriptures out loud, which we're about to do in just a few minutes here, when you read it out loud and you are not reading it in your mind, we are going to do it here publicly or corporately, but I'm encouraging you, like I said earlier on, I want you to do this through the course of our 30-day planting the heaven. Do it at least once every 2 days. If you can't do it every day, do it at least once every 2 days. And I want you to read not just 3 verses or 4. I want you to read a whole chapter of the Bible out loud. Just read it out loud. When you do that, something supernatural happens to you. The word of God that you read out loud, not just the one that you follow in your mind, opens you up more easily for divine encounters. It opens you up more easily as you read it out loud. It opens you up more easily for divine encounters. The word says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have always assumed that means faith comes to me when I hear a preacher speaking the word of God. Yeah, that is partly so, but it is not 100% accurate. In actual fact, the greatest faith that can be birthed within me is faith that is birthed within me when I hear myself speaking the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing the word of God. 3 major things speaking the word and reading the word out loud will do for you. Extended scriptures. 1, it will open you up more easily to divine encounters. Like the eunuch, Philip said, do you understand? He said, how can I understand? How can I understand unless a man explains? And God encountered him, and God changed his story. 2, when you read the word of God out loud, it works your mind for easy understanding by making it focus. When you speak it out loud, when you are not reading it just with your eyes in your mind, when you are actually reading it both with your mind and your mouth, that causes your mind to focus and understanding easily comes to you. But the third and one of the most powerful things about reading it out loud is supernaturally it releases an anointing into your life. That's why I told you, when we go through this exercise tonight, I want you to have that handkerchief wrapped around your phone. Anyone with psychological disorders, mental issues, mind problems, emotional problems, sleep disorders, wandering mind, confused mind, divided mind, troubled mind, worried, assaulted, afflicted mind. If you know any such person, after we are done with tonight's session, I want you to lay that handkerchief upon them and speak peace upon them. Those parents who have children who have troubled minds, children with psychological issues, Medical science has called these things different things. Some of them they call ADHD. Some of them they call some other disorders. No matter how it is described medically, put a handkerchief on them. Now, if you or that person, if that person is able to read, whether adult or child, make them read for the next 30 days one chapter of Mark and John. Mark and John, every day, one chapter for the next 30 days. So you lay that handkerchief upon them. It might be somebody online with us tonight, or it might be somebody else that you are going to minister to. Lay the handkerchief upon them and speak the peace of God upon them and their mind. But then, if they can read, make them read one chapter of Mark and John every day for the next 30 days. If they cannot read, and make them read it out aloud. Make them read it out aloud. If they cannot read, you sit with them if you can, or have somebody arrange to sit with them and read it out aloud for the next 30 days, one chapter of Mark and one chapter of John. And you watch out, because yokes that have to do with the mind are going to be broken. If it's someone who doesn't have deep psychological or mental issues, but they just have problems quieting their mind. They have problems. Their minds are always wandering, always wandering. Their minds are always escaping their focus. Make them do this. Make yourself do this. You will find out over a period of time, sameness, completeness. When the Bible says you have the mind of Christ, this is one of the ways to get the mind of Christ, is to superimpose the spiritual, supernatural mind of Christ through his spoken rhema word over your natural mind, regardless of the issues of your natural mind. Did somebody get that? Shout hallelujah tonight.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God. Now, I want you to flip your Bible to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. I see we have about barely 15 minutes to go. So if we read this, we're going to read all of Genesis chapter 1. If all we do in the remaining 15 minutes is just reading it, and I don't have any time to say the other things that are really pertinent for me to say tonight, that's fine. We have already received something. And tomorrow, by the special grace of God, we will pick it up from wherever we stop tonight. If we have some time, I'm going to go on to continue based on what we read to minister to us. So I want you to open to Genesis chapter 1. We are all going to read it, but I want you to read it out loud, but I don't want you to shout. I don't want you to be very loud. I want you to mutter it. So we have different translations. I'm going to read the King James. I want you to follow me, but I want you to look in your Bible, and I want you to read it out loud. And I want you to incline your ears so that your ears are hearing it and your mind is following it. We're going to go now. 2, 3, go. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters
from the waters.
Remember, I keep your voice down so that everybody else can speak out, but I don't want you to speak loud. Just let my voice be over yours. Verse 7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place. And let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering together of the water called he seas. And God saw that it was good. Verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, let there be light in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for light in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. Verse 16. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that have life, and fowl that fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Verse 29. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb meat. And it was so. Verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Every day, every creation, every divided aspect of the creation of God is significant. and it represents something. Tonight, we have already talked about the power of reading the Word of God out loud and how it imposes the order of God upon the mind. We will shortly talk about how God is a God of new things. How God will begin new things. He's a God of new things, a God of new seasons, a God of new beginnings, a God of new levels, a God of new dispensations, a God of new opportunities, and how God in this season wants to do a new thing in your life. But before we go that far, tonight, before I close, I want you to focus your mind on the order of God. Think about this for a moment. Everything that God created, day one to day seven, is significant. In order for God to create, God needed to have seven things. In order for God to plant the heavens upon the earth, God needed to have seven things. And we have talked about the first one. God had a desire, a strong quest, a dream. In order for God to plant the heavens on the earth, he had a strong desire, a strong quest, a dream. But secondly, God had opportunity. Thirdly, God had a need. Fourthly, God had a purpose-driven plan. Fifthly, God had help from the Holy Spirit. Sixth, God had faith. And seventh, God had seed. In order for you to plant the heavens on your earth and for your Garden of Eden to become a manifested reality, you will need to have everything that God had. We started with a dream. And our first 2 days, we talked about a dream. In a couple of days or so from now, we will get to the second one, opportunity. But as we work our way there, I want you to focus your mind on the creation of God that we just read about from Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to verse 31. Everything God created is significant. And as you focus your mind on the order of God, I want you, when we leave tonight, I want you, as you observe the order of God, I want you to begin to make it your prayer, God, reveal and manifest your order in my life. God, reveal and manifest your order in my life. We have already talked earlier on about the order of the mind. The mind coming into order and lining up with the eternal plan of God. So that mind is not subverting what is planted in the spirit that can be made manifest in our natural life. We've talked about how to get a breakthrough there. And I believe for everyone who has had mind obstacles, mind issues, mind problems, tonight all of that will be broken. You will be released. And you will engage the mind of Christ so that you can plant heaven upon your earth in Jesus' name. But as we close, look at the order of God. In day one, he created night and day. He created light and said, light be. The first thing he created was illumination, revelation. In day two, he created the heaven. And the Bible calls it the firmament between the waters. Don't you like that? Heaven is the firmament between the waters. And that represents in your life and in my life, destiny, hope, faith, vision. On day three, God created the natural earth, our physical domain, our home base. And that represents three things. Your allotted season on the earth, your fixed boundaries of dwelling abode, and your productivity. On day four, God created more lights. He created the ultimate light on day one, but on day four, he came and created more lights. Sun, moon, stars in the firmament. Notice the order of God. That before he created the first firmament called heaven, he created light. Then he created heaven. Then he created the earth. Then he created more lights in the firmament. One of those lights is called the stars. And his creation on day four are the crowning glories of our lives that help you rule and dominate in the dull and in the bright seasons of life. The things that make you a sign and a wonder different from anyone else, your star, God created on day four. On day five, he created life in the water. Notice the order of God. He could have created life on earth first. Life in the creeping and crawling creatures. No, he created life in the water first. The issues of spirit life. The rivers of life. Then day six, he created natural life on the earth. Physical life, health, wealth, education, vocation. Notice, before God created natural life on earth, he created spirit life in the water. Notice how day five and six follow exactly the pattern, the same pattern of day two and three. Day five and six, life in the water, life on the earth. Day two and three, he created the heaven, a firmament between the waters. He created the earth, our physical domain. And on day six, he made the Garden of Eden. And then made man. Notice, he made the garden and he made man. You see right through Genesis chapter 1, the order of God. I pray for you tonight as we close, that the order of God in every area of your life, and we're going to dig into it, and we're going to take each of those days and the significances to our lives. But before we do it, I pray that even that order, supernatural order, that begins from your mind, responding to your spirit and to the spirit of God, that order will take charge over the rest of your life in Jesus' mighty name. As we close tonight, I call you blessed. I pray the blessings of God upon you, that these words that we spoke and released tonight will perform in our lives, that those who have those handkerchiefs, as you use those handkerchiefs, remember, lay them on the afflicted. Lay them on the people and speak the peace of God. And you watch over the next 30 days. Miracles, breakthroughs in the mind, breakthroughs in psychological realms, breakthroughs in mental realms are going to spring forth. That is our portion in Jesus' mighty name. If somebody has been blessed tonight, shout a living hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory be to God.